Please open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2 and find the 28th verse of the second chapter. We're just going to read two verses tonight at the beginning. We'll look at a few others during the message, but it's from these two that we will be having our study tonight. 1 John chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, as we will as well be concluding the second chapter of 1 John. I'm going to share with you a message that I've entitled simply, Abide in Him. This is something that's really important. And quite frankly, it's something that we need to be reminded of quite often as the church and as Christians. Because we can forget very quickly that the necessity of abiding in Jesus Christ. And I hope tonight as we look at God's Word that you and I will both, and we corporately as a church, will be reminded of how very important this is for us in our walk with the Lord. Abiding in God. Abiding in Christ. So from verses 28 and 29, I'll read that for us. You can remain seated, and I'll read it out loud if you'll please follow along. It says there in the 28th verse, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him." May God bless the reading of His Word. From this passage, I want to talk to you about abiding in Christ. So the first thing we're going to see is abide means to remain or to dwell. That's what abide means. And like I told you last week, I believe it was, that your home is a place where you abide. You live there. You stay there. Your home is your abode. It is obviously the place where you abide. It is your home. And that's what this verse means. This is what this word means. That we are to be in Christ. We are to dwell in Him. And I want to show you just four things from this passage tonight that I hope helps us to understand a little bit more about what this means for us. First one is this. To abide is to be dependent. To abide is to be dependent. Not independent, but to be dependent. Now, why do I say that? If you'll notice there, and I begin to think about those words, the way the church is addressed here a little bit more this week, where he says, little children. If you consider little children are dependent, aren't they? They're dependent on their parents most of the time. For their parents to shelter them, for their parents to provide food for them, for their parents to provide clothing, for their parents to provide the things that they need to live and to be productive. So little children tells us that the church is to be dependent on Christ. So if we abide in Him, we abide in Him because we are dependent upon Him. Just as we depend on our home to shelter us, to put a roof over our heads, and we're thankful for that. Like this morning when it started raining at my house, I was thankful that I had a roof over my head. So I was dependent upon my house. And so we are to be dependent on Christ. If you think about the Bible where it talks about little children, in Mark chapter 10, verse 15, and also in Luke chapter 18, verse 17, the Scripture tells us there that we are to receive the kingdom like a little child. Do you remember that? But also we see in Matthew 18 that there Jesus, when He's talking about His church, and He calls the church little ones. And He says that one who is a stumbling block before these little ones is better off that a millstone would be tied around his neck and he would be cast into the sea. So His church in that case was being viewed as a little one, as a little child. So really all of us are that before the Lord. We are dependent upon the Lord. We need Him every hour. There is never a time when we do not need the Lord. I'll share a hymn with you very quickly. It's number 638. And it is that hymn, I need Thee Every Hour. Let me share a few words with you from that hymn. It says, I need Thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like Thine can peace afford. I need Thee every hour, stay Thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when Thou art nigh. I need Thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need Thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me Thine indeed. thou blessed Son. I need thee, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. The hymn writer rightly states that we need Jesus Christ every hour. And this verse, where he says there and uses the phrase little children, reminds us of that, that we need Him every hour. The second thing we see here, though, in verse 28, is that to abide is to be confident. If you'll look with me further, it says, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." So when we abide in Jesus Christ, we are confident. Now, in this particular context, he's telling us, and though John doesn't speak a whole lot about the second coming of Jesus, here he is talking about that day when Jesus Christ returns. And if we are going to be confident on that day, then we must abide in Him now during this life that we have. So, the word for confident here is a word that it means to hold fast to our hope. It is meaning that we have a boldness. In chapter 4, the word is actually translated there, boldness, where John talks about having boldness in the day of judgment. Now, you'll see there that the time in which we have that confidence is at His coming. I want to share something with you real quick. I was given some markers a little while ago, so I'm going to go ahead and use one of them. It's almost like a little play on words here in the Greek language as we see this transliterated. And the way that they sound, like for the word confident, being confident, it's this word. Parousia, however you would pronounce that, something along those lines, parousia. The word for coming is this. Parousia. So, this is telling us when we abide in Jesus Christ, we have this parousia at His parousia when Jesus Christ returns. Is the way that we would have, that would have been heard in the Greek language when it was spoken or read. The word for parousia there is a word that comes along with apocalypsis. It's the second coming of Jesus Christ. What this word is His appearing, His being made manifest and being made obvious. And listen, folks, that's the reality of Scripture that every one of us need to be reminded of. Jesus Christ is coming back one day. And you're either going to stand before Him on that day in confidence, or you're going to stand before Him on that day being ashamed. And we'll see, that's the next point. To be abide in Him is to be dependent, is to be confident, and number three, is to be unashamed. Is to be unashamed, which is really the opposite of being confident, but I thought it was worth making a point to itself about, because we see there in verse 28, and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. It's the opposite of confidence. This word means to feel shame. And again, 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul told Timothy, and he was really pleading with Timothy, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner. And the way it seems to work out is, if we are not ashamed now, then we will not be ashamed then when He returns. If we are abiding in Him now, then when Jesus Christ returns one day, then we're not going to be ashamed at His coming. So, we've seen it. To abide is to be dependent. To abide is to be confident when Jesus Christ returns. And to abide is to be unashamed. You know, you think about it for a second. Let's say your parents have given you some, or back in the day, your parents gave you a task that you're to do. And maybe you're supposed to clean your room. And they're going to check on your room at a certain time. All right, let's say it's at the end of the week. Friday is when they're going to come and check on your room. But they tell you on Monday, your room's got to be clean. It's got to be ready for inspection on Friday. Not that any of us would ever inspect our kids' rooms or put them through military drills or anything like that if it doesn't work. But so let's say that child receives those instructions and they say, okay, it's Monday, I've got plenty of time. Then they get busy with their schoolwork or playing or goofing off, or and then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday rolls by, and they've kind of lived their lives, just kind of doing their own thing. not worrying too much about what mom and dad said to do. And then Friday comes, and then all of a sudden they find that their room is still a mess, and mom or dad come in the room to find it still in a messy condition. Is that child going to be confident, or are they going to be ashamed when they come? They're going to be ashamed. But what if you say, all right, mom and dad are coming on Monday, so Monday I'm going to start cleaning some things up already so I don't have to do so much at the end of the week. And then Tuesday rolls around. Before they go to bed, they say, all right, I'm going to straighten things up in here. I'm going to put everything away. I'm going to put my dirty clothes in the laundry room. I'm going to straighten up my closet. I'm going to put all the toys away. And then Wednesday rolls around. Things are kind of getting in a mess again. But guess what? There's not quite as much to do because they were keeping it cleaned up. So they keep it tidy on Wednesday. Then Thursday, their brothers or sisters come in the room and just make a mess of it. They've been cleaning it up all week, but brother and sisters mess it up. And now here they are on Thursday night. Friday's the next day. And they say, man, I just can't leave it like this. I've got to clean it up. So they clean it up, get everything put away. When Friday rolls around, are they going to be ashamed or confident? Confident. Why? Because they have been doing what they were told to do. They have been abiding in the commands that they were given. So when that day comes, they are not ashamed. It's kind of that way with us and Jesus Christ and abiding in Him. We'll see more about that in a moment. The fourth thing is this. To abide is to be righteous. To abide is to be righteous. Now, that might strike you a little bit wrong, but let me just talk to you about this for a second. In verse 29, if you'll look at that in chapter 2, He says, if you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. All right? If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. So, we are righteous because we practice righteousness. We practice righteousness because we know that He is righteous. This is a direct result of abiding in Him. Okay? Think about that for a second. And it's while you're thinking about it, look at chapter 3, verse 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is what? Righteous. Just as He is righteous. Okay? So chapter 3, verse 7 says that. I want you to think about your house for a second. Can you tell me anything about your house? You can, can't you? Some of you have just set homes up as newlyweds. You put things in certain places. You know where the dishes are in the cabinets. You know where the plates are and where the bowls and the spoons are and where the cups are. You know where the pantry is and you know what cereals are in those. I say cereal, that's a big thing in our house. You know what cereals are in your pantry. You have a very good idea of where things are located. You know where the problem areas are. You know the things that need to be repaired. You know the things in your house that you maybe take the most delight in. Maybe you know the room that you like to sit in more than any other and which chair it is that you like to sit in and relax and take your nap on Sunday afternoons. But I can't tell that. I can't tell you all that about your house. But I can tell you that about my house. And the reason I know that is because I abide in my house. I spend time there. Right? And if you look at this verse, you'll see here that the reason we know Jesus Christ is righteous is how? Because we spend time in Him. We abide in Him. Reality is, the more you hang out with Jesus, the more you get to know about Jesus, and the more you realize just how righteous He is. And the more we do that, the more we want to be like Him and practice righteousness, just as He is righteous. So, that's why I say there that to abide is to be righteous. Because if we're in Jesus, then we're going to start acting more like Jesus. Boy, I realize many times when my children say or do things, sometimes, a lot of times, I don't approve of them, that they're acting just like me. It's because they've been around me their entire lives, and unfortunately, some of my negative traits have rubbed off on them. they're not all righteous. But the reality is here, when we are in Christ and we abide in Him and spend time with Him, we begin to act more like Him. You notice there at the end of verse 29 that he talks about or mentions this idea of is born of Him. I just want to point out to you very quickly, let's flip to all of them and read them. I want to point out to you all the verses where John talks about this is a proof that you've been born of God. Okay? So the first one is here in chapter 2, verse 29. The next one is in chapter 3, verse 9. Y'all look at your Bibles and follow along. Chapter 3, verse 9 says, "Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God." We'll handle the exposition of that at a later date, but just mark that down right now. The next is chapter 4, verse 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." The next one, chapter 5, verse 1. "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves Him who begot also loves Him who is begotten of Him." Chapter 5, verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." The last one is in chapter 5, verse 18. "We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him." Perhaps you struggle with assurance of salvation. These are six places in John's first letter that you can look to and you can compare your life to what he states. Because he wrote these so that we would know that we have eternal life. And the way we have eternal life is if we have been born of God. We have been given that spiritual life from God. He has fathered us. And that is directly connected to our faith in Jesus Christ. Have we believed the testimony of God? And what is that testimony of God? I hope that y'all are getting this a little bit as I'm getting it in studying these two writings, John and 1 John. The testimony of God is that He has given us eternal life through Jesus Christ. And once we have that witness, it is within us. It dwells within us. And we are witnesses of Him. Let's go to apply the Word. Now, that went pretty quick, didn't it? So let's apply the Word a little bit. Number one, as we think about these two verses, let's see ourselves as we are before the Lord. What are we according to this passage before the Lord? How does it describe us? Little children. And that's how we need to view ourselves, as little children. Now, I hand it to you. I know that it says in the verses that we just studied a couple weeks ago, if you'll look back at verses 12 through 14, he describes us in three different ways. Does anybody remember how he describes the church or how he addresses the church right there? Maybe you can see it. Little children, but what else? Young men, and then what's the other way? Fathers. And it was actually little children, fathers, young men. That was the order, and he goes through it twice. Now, why did he address the church in that way? Was he really talking about different age groups, or was he just speaking to the church as a whole, addressing them in these three different ways? I would suggest to you it's the last. Now, think about what each of those, how each of those kind of pictures the church. First of all, the church is dependent. Why? Because we're little children. Secondly, the church is experienced in that the church is like the father who has a walk with the Lord and knows the Lord and has eternal life. Because that's the thing that he pointed out twice about fathers. They know Him who is from the beginning. And the Bible tells us in John 17 that to know God is to have eternal life, or to have eternal life is to know God and Jesus Christ, His Son. So we are not only dependent, but we have experience in our relationship with God. But number three, we are enduring. Just as young men have overcome the wicked one because of the word that abides in them, we are enduring as we are in the battle for the Lord, as we are militant, as we are going forth with the word of God, as we are seeking to live our lives for Jesus Christ on a daily basis, we are young men because we are currently engaged in the fight. The church is pictured in all three of these different ways. Now, let's go back to young men, or little children rather, in this particular application. See ourselves as we are. If you guys would, please turn over to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. When I talked about abiding earlier on in the message, this may have been where your mind went to begin with. I want to look at a few verses here because this shows us how dependent we are on the Lord. John chapter 15. I'm going to look at a few verses here. All right, y'all got it? All right. I'll start reading here, and we'll just read through a few of these verses. Again, this isn't to do an exposition on chapter 15, but I do want us to see how Jesus uses the word abide and how Jesus speaks to his disciples about the importance of abiding in him. Okay? So y'all follow along if you would. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do what? Nothing. Are we dependent on Jesus? Are we little children? Absolutely. Verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Let's see, we'll read two more verses. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. You all see how Jesus used that word abide so much right here? And it's that word that means to remain or to dwell. And Jesus is teaching his disciples that they must stay connected to him, that they must rely upon him. Now, let's be honest with ourselves tonight. How often is it that we start our Monday mornings or our Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or Saturday or even our Sundays and we maybe give little thought to Jesus Christ. And we give little thought to how utterly important it is that we rely upon Him, that we abide in Him if we're going to bear fruit for Him. Do y'all ever forget that? I do. That's why these messages and these studying the Scripture in this way is so important, because we need to hear this stuff. Now, how is it that we abide in Him? You may have seen here a couple of times an emphasis on His Word. They were cleansed by His Word. And let's see, verse 9, verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. I'll say this concerning this passage. For us to abide in Jesus, we must be abiding in His Word. We must have His Word within us. Otherwise, we are not abiding in Jesus. Christian, if you are here tonight and you You're not reading your Bible. You're not studying the Bible. You're not having a discipline of opening God's Word on a regular basis. I'm not trying to be legalistic and saying that you have to be in the Bible every single day, though it is not a bad idea. But you must be disciplined to be in the Bible. If you're not, you're not having the Word of Jesus constantly fed into your life. And you will find yourself very quickly not abiding in Him as He has commanded us to do. How are you going to know what Jesus said to do it if you don't read what He said to do? Okay? So whatever excuses that you may be making about not reading the Bible, it's time to repent of those and put them away and say, no more. Starting tomorrow morning or even tonight, I'm going to have a discipline of reading the Word of God. Let me give you an easy plan. It's called the 260 plan. All right, there's 260 chapters in the New Testament. Now, here's the way this works. And I'm really taking it easy on you with this plan, because the way this works is you read one chapter a day, 5 days a week, take the weekends off. And then by the end of a year, in other words, by this time next year, you've read the whole New Testament. Okay? You're without excuse. You are without excuse. And if you go further than that, if you read like 3.5 chapters a day, you read the whole Bible. Okay? Guess what happens if you read 2 chapters a day in the New Testament? By this time next year, you've read through the New Testament twice. And that's 5 days a week. You take the weekends off. There is no excuse for not being in the Bible. We've got apps. We've got all kinds of stuff. We can't make excuses. We must be in the Scriptures. And if you're going to abide in Jesus, then you'll be in His Word. Okay? Now, I love you, and that's why I'm telling you that so firmly. Because I want you abiding in Jesus. I don't care a lick. I was thinking about this today a little bit. I don't care about a lick about being legalistic about anything. I don't want to put an unnecessary burden on anybody. I just want us to know what the Scripture says. Okay? We must be a people who know what the Bible says, and we're seeking by the grace of God to live it out and to obey it. I don't care about adding anything to it whatsoever. I just want us to be people of the book. Second point of application is this. Be intentional about abiding in Him. In other words, we could take this as a command for sure. To abide is a command that God's children should seek to obey. Remember what I said about those children being commanded by their parents to keep their room clean, and that Friday they're going to come in and check their room. When the children hear that, they shouldn't just kind of shrug it off and put it to the side. Their parents have told them that, and therefore they ought to seek to obey it, just as it is here. It's not a take it or leave it kind of thing about abiding in Jesus. He said in chapter 15 of John that if you don't abide in Me, you can't do anything. But think about this as well. When Jesus Christ comes back one day, do you want to be confident or do you want to be ashamed when He comes? The only way that you and I will be confident when Jesus Christ returns is if we are abiding in Him now. Why? Because we know Him when we are abiding in Him now. We have a relationship with Him. We know that He is righteous, which means then we are seeking to live righteously, which means when He comes, we receive a reward for our labor. Jesus graciously gives us that. So we can be confident. Now, I want to ask you to turn somewhere. This is a real challenge. I'm taking a chance at this one because I've got a new Bible, and I'm not so sure I'm going to be able to find the passage that I'm about to have y'all to turn to. I think it's in Acts chapter 16. It's a big deal for me to get a new Bible, and I'm just hoping that I can stick with this one because it's laid out differently than the other ones. I think I want to have you turn to Acts chapter 26. No, that's going to be wrong. It's going to be Acts chapter 24. Okay, this is completely off the cuff right here. This is not in my notes. I'm just going to see if I can find it. Now, I'll say this, okay? This is one of the reasons why I like to get a new Bible. Because it gets me out of being familiar with the one that I've had for a few years, and it makes my mind have to engage more with the Scriptures to really think, do I really know where this is? And then I have to really search it out. So it helps solidify things in my mind. So getting a new Bible occasionally is actually a very good thing to help us grow in our knowledge of the Word of God. Okay. Give me a second. So silence is good. This is like quiet meditation. I'll tell you the passage I'm looking for. It is where Paul talks about having a good conscience before God and man because of the resurrection. All right, here it is. I found it. Chapter 24, verse 15. Chapter 24, verse 15. This is where he's before Felix. We'll start at verse 14. Thank you for being so gracious and patient with me. In verse 14, "But this I confess to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead." Now, I'm reading this because when Christ returns, we're going to be resurrected, and at that time, we'll stand before Him to give an account. So, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. This being so, listen, know this verse. "This being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men." Okay, do y'all see that? Paul sought to live out his life in a way where he's not at enmity with God and that he is also not doing man wrong. He might offend people because of preaching the gospel, but he's doing what God has called him to do. He is not sinning against a brother. So because of that, he's seeking, because of the resurrection that's going to happen one day at Christ's return, he seeks to have a good conscience before God and man, i.e., that is, abiding in Christ. Why? Because when Jesus returns, he wants to have confidence before him at his coming. Okay, does that make sense? Hope so a little bit. All right? So, be intentional about abiding in him. Y'all can turn back to John. Number three is this. Pay attention to John's emphasis on abiding and learn what the Bible says about it. For instance, we might say we are abiding when we, number one, practice righteousness. You can see the scriptures in 1 John to go along with this. Number two, when we love one another. We will see as we continue to take an exposition through this book that this is a very big emphasis of John, loving one another. And if you don't love others, then you can't really say that you've been born of God or that you love God. Number three, keep His commandments. John chapter, or 1 John 4:23. Since it's only one verse there, I'll go ahead and read it. 1 John 4:23. I wrote the wrong verse, chapter down. It's chapter 3, verse 23. "And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment." So, when we're abiding in Him, we are keeping His commandments. And then, number four, we possess the Holy Spirit. That's chapter 4. Now it's chapter 3, verse 24. I'm sorry for writing that down wrong. Chapter 4, verse 24. "Now, he who keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He in him." Now, all right, let's take a second and look back at this. All right, look at verse 24, and y'all answer this question for me from the context. What are the commandments that we are to keep that tells us if we're abiding in Him or not? Okay? So the first one was what? Believing. All right, believing in the name of Jesus. What was the second part of it? Loving one another. What are the commandments that we are to keep? It is those given in verse 23. Believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. Now, he who keeps His commandments abides in Him and He in him. And by this we know that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given us. So, abiding in Jesus is vitally important to our life now, to be productive as a Christian, that we might produce much fruit and prove to be His disciples. And abiding in Jesus now is vitally important for that day when Jesus returns. Listen to me. I don't care if you die tonight. I actually do care if you die tonight, because I don't want any of y'all to die tonight. But I don't care if you die tonight and spend 100 years in the grave, and then Jesus comes back after 100 years. On that day, you're going to wish that you abided in Him now. Okay? Because you're going to be raised from the dead when Jesus Christ returns. And you're going to stand before Jesus Christ and give an account for the things done in your body, whether good or evil. So what Jesus is calling us to do is to abide in Him right now while we are here in this life. Because once this life passes, we will have no other opportunity to do that. Of course, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Our soul will go and be with Him, but on that resurrection day, that's when we'll give an account to the Lord. It's not all finished completely until Christ returns. And I want you, I want me, I want us, and I want those that we come into contact with as we share the gospel with them and invite them to Jesus Christ to be their Savior. I want them all to stand before the Lord in confidence one day. Now, that's all I've got. I've got some things on your handout there if you want to look at this further. At the bottom of it, I've given you all the references, as far as I know, to abiding that are found in the Gospel of John and all that are found in 1 John, and then there are two that are found in 2 John. So you need to be Berean in this, like the Jews in Berea, and you need to take your copy of God's Word and study this out for yourselves as well. But please, hear this. Now, you can't do this if you're not in Christ to begin with, okay? You can't do this if God is not your Father. How does God become your Father? He becomes your Father through faith in Jesus Christ, through trusting in Him, through believing in Him, and obeying His commands. His commands are that we believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, and that we love one another. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank You so much for Your Word tonight. Help us, Lord, to abide in You. God, we will turn away in 30 seconds, a minute, whenever we're completely done here. Lord, we will turn away and completely forget about what we've learned tonight. If we aren't diligent to be doers of the Word, and God, if You don't give us grace, that we might obey. Lord, we want to be confident when Jesus returns, and we want to live in such a way now as to bear much fruit and prove to be His disciples. So God, we pray that You will help us. Thank You for Your Word. Please draw lost sinners to Yourself, because it's only through Christ that anyone can be saved and be a child of God. So Lord, use Your Word. We thank You that You are and that You do. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we dismiss, it is my prayer this morning, or this evening, to the Lord, that He would keep us safe through the rest of this day, that He would keep us safe through this week until we return again to this place to praise His name in the assembly of the saints. You're dismissed.